Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, how big of a weapon will Dez Bryant be with the Saints? Plus, Skip has a strong reaction to an Eagles player calling out the Cowboys and their fans. And have LeBron and the Lakers finally figured things out? Skip Shannon, let's get to it. All right, Dez Bryant is back in the NFL after he agreed to a one-year deal with the Saints yesterday. He joins a Saints team that has won seven straight, has the second-best scoring offense in the NFL, but no Saints wide receiver other than Michael Thomas has more than 12 catches this season. And get this, in 3 weeks, Dez's new team will play his old team, the Cowboys in Dallas. We're joined by FS1 NFL analyst D'Angelo Hall. Welcome. So, big move. We've been talking about Dez all year. You know, will Dez make Dallas miss him?
I think he will. I think New Orleans will find a way to use him that maximizes what he does well. I think a lot of the hiccup we have with the whole Dez leaving Dallas situation is, I mean, when you don't have a quarterback who can give you the ball in the right place or is comfortable giving you the ball in the right place, it then not only becomes hard on that quarterback, but it becomes hard on that receiver. And that, I felt like Dak doesn't like to throw that ball into those tight windows where, whereas Tony didn't mind throwing in tight windows, Dez made a lot of made a lot of catches off schedule when Tony just kind of scrambled out the pocket. So I think the dynamic in which he'll be able to run routes in New Orleans, it'll be more conducive to what will make him a better player. And you talked about New Orleans not having many receivers to throw the ball to. Dez is another weapon, I think, that not being a number one, which I think we're all in agreement, he's not a number one. He can't really separate. But when you have Drew Brees, you don't need to separate. Drew Brees has had bigger, slower receivers that were successful. I think about a guy I played against, Marcus Colston. A big guy who didn't separate at all, but Drew was able to put that ball on him every single time. And Colston made a couple Pro Bowls and racked up a lot of yards over his career in New Orleans. And Michael Thomas is the same type of guy. He doesn't really separate at all. And as a DB, speed always scared me. The bigger guys, I always felt like I was able to kind of beat them up, stay with them, put my hands right there. But you run across a couple receivers like a Michael Thomas, A.J. Green, who still has a little speed, but no matter where you are, they still seem to be able to pluck that ball out the air. And Dez is one of those kind of guys, and I just think this is a match made in heaven. I think the success he has in New Orleans will have Dallas Cowboy fans saying, man, we probably should have offered this guy a little bit of a pay cut as opposed to just releasing him. And then I think that pressure that the fans will give the Cowboys would then have them saying, yeah, maybe we were a little bit premature.
I think the Redskin and D'Angelo is speaking for him. The Redskin just took your tongue over now, right? You just couldn't help yourself. You were spilling Cowboy hate because you want to see Dez come back and haunt the Dallas Cowboys. Am I right?
No, not at all.
Yes. Oh, not at all.
Not at all. I don't care if he haunts the Cowboys. I think mentally, when you get released and you sit home for a while, you get humbled. Things change. Priorities change. I think a big reason Dez didn't go to Baltimore wasn't simply because it was Baltimore. I think he thought $7 million was a smack in the face. I think he wanted more, around the lines of 10, 12.
Well, guess what he's making now?
I know.
Probably league minimum. Rated.
Exactly.
Plus
if, Shannon, because when you don't have it, you don't care.
If he maxes his incentives, he makes 1.1.
Yeah. I know. And that's the thing. When you aren't playing, you'll do anything to get out there. Anything.
Okay, but think back. You had legendary battles with Dez Bryant.
Yeah.
Redskin Cowboy battles. And you held your own and often, I thought, got the best of him. Fair to say?
They won more games than I think we did, I think.
Okay, but
if
in
I
your,
had to think about it. But yeah, yeah.
How many times did you have him man?
To a man, I didn't lose sleep covering Dez.
Okay.
No.
Thank you.
Okay.
So I think you're still living in the past view of Dez because I don't know that guy. That guy you used to cover.
Well,
that guy last year was a shell of himself.
Well, Skip, think about the game. I didn't even play against the Cowboys, I think, the second time in Dallas where we had on the all burgundy. What did Dez go for in that game?
Which game? Last year or 2 years ago?
I want to say last year. Last year in Dallas.
No, he hadn't had a 100-yard game in the regular season in a very long time.
I thought he had 100 that.
No, not.
I know he had two touchdowns.
Yeah. He might have got two touchdowns. I think his last 100-yard game was that playoff game against the Packers.
Boy, I got no memory. All I can remember is he led the NFL in drops last year.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why I disagree with you.
All right.
Because Dez Bryant was never going to put the work in that he's putting in with New Orleans for Dallas. Hmm. He had gotten too comfortable. They had gotten comfortable but realizing that this is what Dez can do. They was never going to get imaginative like Drew Brees says Sean Payton is. Mm-hmm. So they weren't going to allow him to do what Dez thought he could
do.
Because they had gotten comfortable and he had gotten comfortable. Mm-hmm. So being late to meetings, blowing off meetings, not showing up for treatment, things that he won't do in New Orleans, mm-hmm. he was always going to do in Dallas. Because
why did he get away with it?
Because they enabled him.
Because Jerry treated him like a son, right. Literally like a son.
It's called production intolerance. Mm-hmm. See, when the production is up here, Skip, you would almost tolerate anything. Now, all of a sudden, production starts to do this. Oh, now we can't have tolerance tied in production.
You're right.
So, all of a sudden, now, Skip, he's being late for meetings that he's always been late for. Rubbed you the wrong way.
Now's a problem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's showing up. He's blowing up treatment. Now, all of a sudden, it's a problem. When he was giving you 16 mm-hmm. touchdowns, he's giving you 1,400 yards. Mm-hmm. That's not a problem. So, no, the Cowboys are not going to miss him because they're going to say, you know what, Dez? Had you worked that hard, had you been that diligent, had you been that respectful of the time here, mm-hmm. you would still be here.
Correct. Which is why, as a Cowboy fan, I'll take Amari Cooper over Dez Bryant any day or any night. And I will take him on the night of Thursday, what is it, November 29th, mm-hmm. at Jerry World when Dez comes home, quote unquote.
Dez says it's personal.
He'll say it's personal. He'll be overamped. He'll be spilling with bad blood, and he'll drop three balls that night because he'll just want it too badly.
So can,
that's just
I,
me.
I can
you,
be,
do you disagree on Amari Cooper?
I disagree. I disagree. I mean, the value in what you gave
up for Amari Cooper. Right now, you would take Dez over Amari Cooper right now.
No, I'm saying I'm not giving up a first-round draft pick and about to pay Amari Cooper.
Okay.
Well, you got it for $15 million.
$18 million a year.
You got it for $15 million.
I'm just saying, I'm not going to do what it takes to lock Amari Cooper up for the next 4 or 5 years. I would have just, I mean, and I'm not saying Dez was the answer. I'm saying they're going to miss him because he can still play football, and they needed help. They went and got help by going to get Amari Cooper. Exactly, not for $14 million, but to have not even been asked to take a pay cut, like to me, that's what Dez is talking about when he was saying the disrespect. Like, for what I've done for this organization, you can't call me and say, hey, look, you're making 14, you ain't really playing like a number one, come down to 8. If I say no, then that's on me, and then I'm out the door.
I believe the Dallas Cowboys, had Dez Bryant not blown off meetings, been late to practice, not showing up for treatment, I believe they make that.
Sure.
They did it for Larry Fitzgerald when you are exemplary.
You're right.
They got no problem doing that. Why am I, if you're going to exhibit the same behavior, and that's what I really want to get up out of here, mm-hmm. and another, you mentioned about Tony Romo giving him those chances. See, here's the thing. Tony Romo never had anybody behind him. Mm-mm. See, Dak Prescott had Tony Romo looking over his shoulder. He forces that ball to Dez. Mm-hmm. He throws a couple of picks. In a couple of games, guess who's going to be in the starting lineup again? Because remember,
and you know what? He might still be in the starting lineup right now. He might not be in the.
Because remember, Tony got healthy about week 6.
I know, and they was rolling.
Yeah. So he's like, I'm not forcing that ball to Dez, right? Y'all must be crazy. And I'm not giving this job up.
The biggest shock of Jerry Jones' career in my eyes, and I've covered most of it and written books about it, was that he cut Dez Bryant because that took a lot.
Yeah.
That took his son and his daughter and several front office people sitting down saying, Jerry, it's over.
Right.
He's not who he used to be. So you can live in the past all you want, but you do make one powerful point that I didn't see, and that is that Drew Brees can throw people open like nobody who's ever played the game. So,
we're just going to put Drew Brees to the ultimate test.
Like Michael, well, I'm not saying they're going to miss Dez's ability on the field because if he was more work than actual reward as far as being a headache in that building, then that's a different story. Then, no, ain't nobody gonna miss that. But I'm saying for this Dallas offense to be as bad as they are, Dez is another playmaker that they could have used.
They had him and last year.
Yes, they had him last year, but yeah, we're saying a humble Dez. Mm. A humble Dez. But you're saying he would have never gotten humble?
Because what's the incentive?
People don't have tough conversations in general when it comes to sports and athletics. Like, coaches don't sit you down and give you that one-on-one. That's why when you run across real coaches that you genuinely have a connection with, like a McVay, you tend to respect that more because you're right. That coach, those coaches would have never sat down and had that conversation. Mm. But a real coach would. I'm telling you, today's new age
What job you gonna have in America where your boss gonna come to you, and I need you to show up on time. Mm. I need you to be in these meetings. I need you, if something's going.
That's why guys love Sean McVay, because he will have that conversation with a guy.
For $14 million, I'm there early. You know that, I ain't missing, you might get rid of me.
A guy you inherit who's always had those bad habits, you as a coach wouldn't go up to him and say, hey, look, this is what you need to do to continue to get better.
He's been there with Jason Garrett for how long?
I know he's been there with Jason Garrett, but I'm telling you why a different coach, like a Sean McVay type of coach that would come in there and talk to you and tell you what's going on and keep it real with you. Because in the meetings, they talking all kind of trash about you.
Right.
So I need a coach that's going to come in here and keep it real with me and let me know how they feel about me.
Maybe if a new coach had come in.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's a new conversation. But he ain't going to change with Jason Garrett there. First of all, even if Jason Garrett told him he needed him to be on time, if he needed him to get treatment, he just go upstairs to Jerry. And Jerry's going to shut it down. That's why they love Jerry, because they can circumvent the head coach. They can circumvent the trainer. They can circumvent the GM and go straight to Jerry.
Well, he's the GM.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know what? Des may have been humbled, but he's been eating a whole bunch of humble pie because he's gained like, 20 pounds? That's what it looks like to me.
I said it yesterday.
What he's gained. He looks bigger than you.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
He looks no bigger than Le'Veon Bell walking out of that gym.
Yeah, Le'Veon.
Le'Veon looks big.
But here's the thing. Running back, look, Le'Veon, it's not like Le'Veon's breakaway, but that dude a receiver. Dez looked like every bit of 240.
Big to me. I don't know.
Well, put it like this here. They said that they asked him to lose 5 pounds. Normally, when they ask you to lose 5, it's really 10.
How long does that take then for him?
It's going to take a minute because there's nothing gets you in
foot. Not that.
What gets you in shape?
About 2 weeks.
It's not that hard.
Just running around.
Doing
just
what? Practicing. Playing football. When last time you played football?
He's going to probably go a little harder in practice. They're going to probably have him on the scout team a little bit, too.
And then what you got to work when you haven't worked out and it's this late in the season, what you worry about?
I mean, he's been working out. You telling me this man ain't been working out?
That's the thing. See, what housewives work out. Athletes train.
Well, even training. This man,
no, he ain't been training. Dude.
If he ain't training, trying to get a job, he might as well.
How he might as well not even sign that contract. How he training to get a job and he tweeting at me and Skip?
He has too much time.
You know what, Jenny? I know a lot of housewives are in really good shape. So they,
I don't know.
Me too.
See, talking about they train. Yeah.
I'm an athlete. Mm. I eat and train. Mm. A lot of people diet and exercise. Mm. They're two different things.
I'm just saying.
That's what I do as an athlete.
We've had that debate here, and I will always lose. So until then, I'm just going to wrap it up.
No mercy.
Well, another athlete that we are hearing plenty from is Eagles offensive lineman Jason Kelce, who didn't hold back after the Super Bowl when he called the Patriots a, quote, fear-based organization. Now his target is the Cowboys, who Philly will face on Sunday. Kelce called out the Cowboys and their fans yesterday. Let's take a listen.
Everything's heightened. I would say mostly I just don't think that a lot of players, in particular me, just don't really like the franchise of the organization, what it stands for, what it's always stood for. Just never really appreciated what the organization and what its fans really stood for, you know.
Nice.
A lot of fair weather people from across the country that just kind of fell in love because they're winners instead of having any type of emotional connection to the team whatsoever.
Ooh, I can't wait to hear what Skip has to say, but I want to go with Shannon first. You can think about this one. What do you make of Kelce's comments?
Skip, what's the point? Okay, we know this is a division opponent. We know there's no love lost between the Eagles and the Cowboys. But let me tell you what this is about, Skip. This is about, for the longest time, the Eagles have been known for two things. They're known for the team that's in the NFC East that had no Super Bowls. They were the little brothers. They were the doormat.
Mm-hmm.
And their fans booed Santa.
Yep.
That's what the Eagles were known for. Mm-hmm. Everyone else in that division had three or more Super Bowls. And people still talk about those teams in higher regards than the Eagles, although the Eagles are the last team to win a Super Bowl from that division.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. You don't like the team, Skip? Hey, having an intense rival, I played with the Steelers and I played in Denver. I mean, played with the Ravens and we hated the Steelers. Hmm. Played in Denver, we hated the Raiders and we hated the Chiefs. Mm-hmm. We knew we had Raider week. Skip, every time we play them, I hate the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Oh, they fans are fair. I don't care nothing about the fans. I don't even care if they show up. Mm-hmm. Forget them fans. Everybody fans, not say everybody. And some fans are more unruly or obnoxious than others. Cowboy fans, Patriots fans, Packers fans, Steelers fans. Patriots more so since 2001, because I remember the time the Patriots, and you remember that too, they weren't very good, and you could, I mean, there were like 10 fans in the stands. Mm-hmm. But normally when your team wins, Skip, the fans get used to winning, and they, y'all terrible, blah, 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 blah. Like the Packers, mm-hmm. Title Town, the Steelers, 6 Super Bowls, the Cowboys, 5 Super Bowls. So, you know, I mean, I don't know what these millennials are talking about. They hadn't won in a very long time, Skip. I don't even know why you own them. You should have been left ship. Mm. But anyway, Skip, I don't get that. Why are they still talking about? I don't get Jason Kelce. I don't get Jason Peters. Okay, they're the Cowboys. And yes, they're America's team. And I don't know how you get to be America's team. But it happened. Mm-hmm. In the 60s when they got the coin to term, maybe it was in the 70s.
It wasn't until 79.
Yeah, because in the 60s they were terrible. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, for a little while.
No, all the 60s. They were terrible.
They were not terrible. They got in the NFL championship game.
Once. Okay. But anyway, they lost. Told Coach Ledger, I know this little stuff. They're not in the 70s, Skip. Ooh, they had a little powwow. Mm-hmm. But it all ended on the catch. Mm-hmm. Once the catch happened, they went down the hill in the 80s. Right. And then the 90s, they rolling again. Mm-hmm. But what I don't understand, Skip, Jason Kelce never said anything about this in 2014. Mm. He didn't say the Cowboys were terrible and all this and all that. He didn't say nothing. He didn't say nothing like this in 2016. Mm-hmm. Now they're facing a little hardship. Now he come out, mm-hmm. Eagles, boy, we hard, no, we blue collar, everybody blue. Stop it. You get an opportunity on Sunday to put your hatred on display, mm-hmm. and go ahead and smash him, which I expect you to do. But enough of this talking.
Everything Jason Kelce said yesterday embodies, just enhances why I despise everything about the Philadelphia Eagles, and I have my entire life, because I have despised this franchise since I became a Cowboy fan in 1961. And just to be clear about this, within this division, the New York Giants, I respect, because they've always been about class and character, and there's never been a big incident between Cowboys and Giants. It's a very respectful rivalry. I do not like the arch-rival Washington Redskins, but I don't hate them.
Right.
I don't disrespect them. Okay. I have nothing but sometimes fear and respect to the Washington Redskins. I have no respect for the Philadelphia Eagles, because to your point, the Philadelphia Eagles have been a longtime doormat of this division and a laughingstock of this division. And every time they get on a little bit of a roll, they're a bunch of front-running chest beaters who get too full of themselves too quickly and fall right on their faces. There is no way Jason Kelce would have spoken out yesterday if my team hadn't fallen on its face on Monday Night Football.
You're probably right.
That was the biggest egg under the circumstance my team has ever laid in my long history of rooting and trying to support my team. I told you I came in here Monday. I'm done, man. I'm out. That was the turning point of the 2018 season. And Jason Kelce knows this, so he's front running, and he's trying to stomp on what looks like their grave right now. And again, even his points are wrongheaded, because the first point is he's actually talking about this franchise, this organization that he hated, because it's what they always stood for. It goes back to the lockout. We're going back to 1987 when the Dallas Cowboys were run by the great Texas E. Schramm. Tex Schramm, do you remember him?
I do.
Because most players in that era thought Tex Schramm was actually the behind the curtains commissioner of the league.
Right.
That he ran the league. And I covered him, and he did run the league.
Right.
So again, did he break the union, the players union in 19? Yeah, because all the Cowboys walked the picket line.
And the great
Tony Dorsett, Too Tall Jones, Randy White, Danny White. They just walked the picket line. Yep. And again, they played on a Monday night game that was televised. It was on Monday Night Football against Joe Gibbs, who actually beat them with replacement players at Texas Stadium. That was a low point for me as a Cowboy fan.
Yep.
But the point is, he's trying to lump that organization into the Jerry organization. Jerry Jones is the opposite of Tex Schramm. Jerry Jones, I know Mark Cuban owns the Dallas Mavericks, but the ultimate Dallas Maverick is Jerry Jones. He is anti-establishment. Yeah. He is against the grain. He is anti-league. He's everything that Jason Kelce should love about having that fighting spirit against the league, right?
Yeah,
okay. So and then he talks about a lot of fair weather people from across the country just kind of fell in love because they're winners. The Cowboys, my team hasn't won a Super Bowl or been to Super Bowl in 23 years. So he's talking about a lot of old people, right?
Yes.
And again, I meet, when we take the show on the road, I meet a lot of younger people like in their 20s who wearing Cowboys jerseys,
right,
like in Cleveland maybe.
Sure. Right.
And I say, well, what is that? Like LeBron, right?
Yes.
He's a product of this.
Correct.
And I always say, what happened? What inspired this? I just love the jersey. I saw, yeah, when I was a little kid, I saw it, loved the color on television.
What about the guy at the security that we walk past every day? Derek.
He's
from New York.
Loves him. Yeah.
And I said, hold on, bro. How you jump over the Giants, jump over the Jets, past the Falcons and the Saints and all these teams in between to land in Dallas?
That had a lot to do with the 90s, I think. 92, 93, yeah, 94, 95.
But he ain't that young.
No, he's not that young. But I think that's what won.
Yeah, that goes to Kelce's point. See, when they were winning, everybody wanted to jump on the bandwagon. But
this is new now. This is a whole different era. And again, it has a lot to do with the uniforms, but you can't tell me that people still hang on to the Cowboys because they're winners, because
they
haven't been winners. So I don't know where he's going with that. And yet, trust me, when you talk about unruly fans, there's only one place, and I went to a bunch of games at what used to be called the Vet, Veteran Stadium in Philadelphia.
Terrible field.
And it was a terrible field and a terrible bunch of fans because they not only booed Santa Claus, they booed Michael Irvin when he had a career-ending injury, a back injury, and he's lying prone on the field, and they are cheering that injury, right?
There's no love lost between the Eagles because Buddy put
terrible.
Buddy put the bounty out on the kicker.
He did. And when, in my days of covering the Cowboys back, let's do the 90s, 80s, the people who ran the Cowboy tours would always tell if they took a group of people to Philadelphia, as long as they're going to Washington or New York, no problem. Any other place, no problem. But when Philadelphia, they had one rule. You cannot wear cowboy paraphernalia into those stands because them is fighting words.
Yep.
Wow. Somebody's going to want to fight you because they're going to get drunk. They're going to get crazy.
And if they're losing.
Oh, you better be careful.
It's because you had that cowboy jersey on and they're going to want to fight. But
look, I don't want to stereotype all the Philly fans because I'm sure there's some great ones and some classy ones. But to me, as a group, they are the least classy fans in the National Football League. And Jason Kelce represents them. So congratulations on that.
Well, I mean, look, Skip, the Eagles are on the perch. They're the Super Bowl champs. The Cowboys are right now on a little some lean time. They've fallen. They lost the last two ball games. And so, they're easy picking. Mm-hmm. That's low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all just Jason Kelce. But okay, now, you know you got to play this game on Sunday. You're doing all this bumping them gums. Mm-hmm. You got to play on Sunday.
They all bump their gums.
So we're going to see. Yep. I'm going to be watching it, too. We got a case on that. We got a case on doing
it. We got no case.
Oh, whoa. Time out.
You want Dallas? Yeah, I'll give you Dallas.
No, you don't bet against your team, remember? Because I tried to get a bet.
I do now.
He said that yesterday.
I'm off. I wrote off 2018.
No.
You want them?
No.
You can have them.
Why would I want them?
Well, I don't know.
I would like for them to go on a nice little win streak. Because, see, if they lose their next two or three games, we know they're out of the playoffs. See, I want to get that momentum built back up because there's nothing like when you like something's going to happen and then, oh, no, oh, man. And then President, when Rev came in that thing and he sat down on his couch, you're like, oh, Skip, if they win like three or four games, you will come in here.
Shannon
How
Sharp,
about them Cowboys?
I already decreed on Tuesday morning they are out of the playoffs.
They
it
might win four
over
straight.
And out.
They win four straight. They right back in this thing.
At Philly, at Atlanta, Washington, New Orleans, Philadelphia.
Yeah.
They're going to win those games?
Wait a minute. They got the guy that had the third best and the fourth best QBR the last two, 3 years.
Got rid of the jersey.
He got the white one. He still got the white one.
He still got the white one.
Exactly. That's the most prestigious one.
We'll see if it comes.
Yeah,
back.
I know.
We'll see.
You think you're slick.
Well, Patrick Mahomes run away with the MVP award. That's someone
this.
Who's winning.
Your
we'll discuss
my
that.
My homeboy, Patrick Mahomeboy. Got it.
No mercy.
It is never too early to talk NFL MVP. Right now, Patrick Mahomes is a big favorite to win the award. Mahomes is leading the league in touchdown passes and passing yards. Drew Brees has led the Saints to 7 straight wins, and he has the second best odds, followed by Todd Gurley and his league-leading 16 touchdowns. And Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are tied with the 4th best odds. Shannon, should Mahomes be the MVP favorite right now?
Duh. Not only should he be the favorite, he's going to win. Like I told you, he would, Skip Bayless.
Oh, boy, that's going so far out on a limb. I'm impressed.
Don't do that.
That's the gutsiest call you've ever made in the history of Undisputed.
Skip, why would you do that? Why would you take a shot at me and Patrick, my homeboy?
You're homeboy.
Yeah, we homies now.
No one has ever jumped on bandwagons faster than Shannon Sharp. No. You are a leaper.
Starting to learn that. Starting to learn.
Okay, let me ask you this. What is there not to like? Okay, he threw for his first game, he threw for like 256. Off game, Jen. He just had four tubs.
Oh, okay.
But ever since then, 300 plus.
Mm.
So.
How many games have we played so far?
We've played nine.
Oh.
Well, obviously, Skip, if the man were to get injured, all bets are off.
Huh.
Which, stop trying to put bad mouth on somebody.
What is the history of Andy Reid football teams? Seems to happen? I don't know why. Maybe because they're a little soft. They get beat up. They get intimidated a little bit. People figure them out, and they fade.
They fade. No. Oh. That's what happens when he had.
Oh.
Has he ever had a quarterback like this?
I don't know. I'm not sure how good this one is yet.
All I know is when he was in Philly, he went to, five straight NFC Championship games?
Yeah. Are we saying Patrick Mahomes is better than Donovan McNabb? Because I don't know that yet.
In year two, he's way better.
Well,
he's
like really better. Year one as a starting quarterback. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not even close then, right? Now, this one.
I don't know about that. I love Donovan McNabb. I respect those first 5 years.
You didn't love him his first year? Because he ain't Skip, we haven't seen this.
Mm.
We haven't seen this, Skip. Only Dan started the second year where he went 5,048. Mm-hmm. Skip,
he had Clayton and Duper. Yeah. Look what this kid has.
Yeah.
You ever seen better weapons, a better array of weapons?
Those same, guess what? Hmm. You know what I was thinking? I was like, he does, he has Travis Kelce, and he has
Tyreek
Hill. Mm-hmm. He has Kareem Hunt. Mm-hmm. The same cast that checked down Alex Smith had.
Sammy Watkins was not there.
In 15 games last year,
mm-hmm.
Alex Smith has three fewer touchdowns than what this kid has right now.
Mm.
So I don't really know. Let's see. Drew Brees has had an unbelievable season, Skip.
Mm.
All-time leader in passing yards. He's on pace to break the completion percentage again this year, 76%.
You know what? That's you're just like mentioning that and going on.
Like because you know what? Because at the end of the day, this is I understand. You got to win. Check. Both guys are winning, right?
True.
But it's still a stat award. Mm-hmm. He has 11 more touchdowns and 565 more yards than Drew Brees.
I don't know, but Drew Brees is 18-1?
Hold on, Skip.
Is that pretty great?
Hold on, Skip. He's got 12 more touchdowns and 407 more yards than your guy who you going to throw into the equation.
How do you know?
Have I spoken yet? No, but I know you.
Do you have, like, intel?
Yes.
Have you bugged my dressing room or what is that?
I know you. Huh. I know every chance you get. Or Tom Brady. Tom Brady beat this guy. Tom Brady's stats aren't like this.
Wait, did Tom Brady beat that guy?
Yeah.
Oh!
That is true.
Does that count? That was a preseason game.
Hold on.
It was a real game.
How many games has Tom Brady lost?
Two.
That's
terrible.
And my homeboy.
Yeah.
My homeboy, how many games he lost?
Who do you think's going to the Super Bowl to represent the AFC?
No. It's a regular season award.
Yeah, but we're only halfway through the regular season.
You want to put some dough on it?
No.
Why you? Hold on.
I'm up 13 cases.
Let me get three back.
Yeah, because this is a front runner's award, and people just get blinded because in this day and age we live in, this social media internet age, people just rush each other to the finish line. They race each other to try to say, he's the MVP. And it's always premature.
Is he not?
I'd give it to him right now, barely, just because of what he's done. But Drew Brees is sensational this year. This is probably his best year ever. And he's had a bunch of good ones, right?
Yeah.
I mean, 18-1. And by the way, not that I'm going to hang my helmet on this one right now, but in QBR, he just surpassed young Patrick Mahomes. He's just a touch above him in QBR.
Touch.
Okay? Well, that's got to count for something.
And the thing is, Skip, the reason why it's going to be hard to beat him is because his defense. So he's going to be in shootouts, and he's going to throw three, four touchdowns, mm-hmm. and he's going to be somewhere around that magic number of 300.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to be 5,050.
Mm-hmm.
50 touchdowns, 5,000 passing yards.
He's already thrown 7 interceptions.
The same.
Is that good?
The same number as Tom Brady with 12 more touchdowns.
Huh? Which team do you like better? I think I'll take the.
No, see, Skip. Now you're trying to parse it and come down with which team do you like better. At the end of the day, when you're dealing with awards, it still comes down to stats. Mm-hmm. It's not about. Look at Mike Trout. He's in the running for the MVP. What did the Angels do? Did they make the playoffs? Were they close to making the playoffs? Because it's stats. Now, he's not going to win. Old Mookie Betts going to win. Because guess what his team did?
Mike Trout doesn't play quarterback. It's the most valuable position in all of sports.
I'm glad Patrick, my homeboy, does, though.
Yeah, well,
I'm glad
does.
You said that.
Okay.
Thank you.
But the quarterback I'm about to talk about beat Patrick Mahomes head-to-head by throwing for 182 yards in the fourth quarter. So let's just think about this for a second. Higher degree of difficulty between Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. Higher degree. Who's got the higher degree? Help me out.
Skip.
Maybe the greatest array, the greatest hangar full of weapons we've ever seen in the history of the National Football League belonged to first-year starter Patrick Mahomes. One of the greatest play callers in the history of pro football is the quarterback coach and the head coach for Patrick Mahomes.
He ain't better than Josh McDaniels, what you tell me.
That's not what I say. I tell you, Tom Brady's the coordinator.
Okay,
he thinks up.
Okay, what are we going to do about Coach Belichick? How do we move him from that
hold
question?
Hold on just a second. I haven't even started here because I'm going degree of difficulty. So we see Patrick Mahomes has had everything coming up roses for him, right, in Kansas City. We're only halfway through, so let's see how it starts to play out. But all I'm saying is I'll give you a slight edge for Patrick Mahomes right here, right now, but you better not sleep on that guy in Foxborough because he is coming for this award.
I'm hibernating
him. He is the reigning MVP, and let's think about degree of difficulty. He did not have Julian Edelman for the first four games, and to my eye, Edelman just doesn't look like Edelman coming off the ACL. He doesn't have his burst that he used to have. Obviously, Gronk is a broken-down mess right now. He's missed two games. He might be borderline done for the rest of the year. I don't know. He's got a bad back, bad ankle. And obviously, run game, they had Rex Burkhead as their primary back. He got hurt, went on IR. Sony Michel is still hurt. I thought he was going to play. We're not sure about that. So, Tom Brady lost Amendola, and he lost Brandon Cooks, and he lost Malcolm Mitchell, and then they tried all kinds of Eric Deckers and Kenny Britts and Jordan Matthews, and all of them got cut. And he lost his left tackle, Nate Solder, to the New York Football Giants. And then they drafted Isaiah Wynn out of Georgia, and he got hurt in the preseason and lost for the year. This is what he's up against. His primary target got cut, basically, traded, Josh Gordon, by the Cleveland Browns. Mm-hmm. We just had Hugh on yesterday, and they just gave up. They just said, nope, we just can't deal with this. More trouble than he's worth. Wait a second. Tom Brady's primary target is now Josh Gordon, and to quote the great Shannon Sharp, he looks like he's running with a piano on his back.
Yeah.
He's kind of a shell of what he was in 2013.
There are a lot of guys that ran like that. What Steve Largent run? Like 4.2?
Okay. I'm just saying, show me weapons. What is he doing? You want to talk about doing it with mirrors?
But I love how you say degree of difficulty now, but when you never made that case for LeBron James.
We're not talking about LeBron James. We're talking about NFL quarterbacks and MVPs.
That's what I'm talking about.
All I need to ask you is the classic question. If Tom Brady had been in Kansas City from game number one this year, what would be happening? 07 all over would be happening. He would be setting records.
Skip, that's not how you do it.
He would be setting records. If Patrick Mahomes, as a first-year starter, had started off game one in New England this year, they would have lost at least two games because they would have lost to Tom Brady's Kansas City and to Aaron Rodgers. Maybe three games because I think Deshaun Watson would have beaten Patrick Mahomes in game number one. So if they had three more losses, they'd be 4-5 right now.
Well, Skip.
Think about that.
Well, think about what Tom Brady was in his first year. You remember what he was? You remember they won the Super Bowl, he threw one touchdown.
Well, what does it matter? We're talking about 2018.
Okay, then why you keep going back?
Wait a second. Do you want to compare Patrick Mahomes career-wise to Tom Brady? Is that what we're doing? Seriously.
If Patrick Mahomes, when he gets to year 18, we can look back. But you don't get to say if Tom Brady was in Kansas City's offense.
Well, what would happen?
Skip, we don't get to do that.
They would be undefeated, and he would be breaking records. He'd be on record-breaking pace.
Well, what if Peyton Manning had Coach Belichick his whole career?
Exactly.
That's my point. I don't care.
We're talking about 2018.
Exactly. And Patrick Mahomes, boy.
Okay, what would happen if Tom Brady had started the year in Kansas City?
I don't care what happened. That's not what we're talking about.
We're talking about
where they are right now. You keep going to degree of difficulty.
Okay, we're going to valuable, it's called most, valuable player. By far, the most valuable player in the National Football League right now, you cannot refute this, is Tom Brady.
That's what we can.
I give you the stats. Listen, the kid, as a first-year starter, is playing phenomenally
well. Let me tell you what hurts your argument. Because we saw the New England Patriots without Tom Brady go 11-5. We see the Green Bay Packers without Aaron Rodgers miss the playoffs.
Okay, but we're talking about 2018, and we're talking about Bill Belichick, timeout, who I think has lost his fastball on defense as a defensive coordinator. He's at least lost his curveball.
Okay, what about in 2016? Mm-hmm. They play four games without Tom Brady. They win three of them. How many games did the Packers win without with Aaron Rodgers?
What do you think what would happen right now if Tom Brady were not the New England quarterback? This defense has been atrocious most of the year. Atrocious. Yeah. It gave up 31 second-half points to Patrick Mahomes, a first-year starter in Foxborough. What? In the second half.
That's
and
MVP.
Guess what?
That sounds like MVP to me.
No, no.
Sound like Mahomes or
no.
To me.
The
Thank
MVP
you.
Overcame that.
Thank you.
He won in spite of his defense because he outscored him 43-40, and I'm going to say it again, 182 yards passing in the fourth quarter. Then he outgunned Aaron Rodgers in the fourth quarter by throwing for 104, going 6-for-6 in the fourth quarter.
But didn't Tom Brady have...
That's an MVP. That's valuable.
Didn't Tom Brady have 24 in the first half? So why did he only get 19 in the second half?
He made all the plays down the stretch
okay.
in the game.
We have a winner
yep.
from Texas Tech, Patrick. My homeboy.
Do we?
Yeah!
That's all you got is front running.
Whoa! Yeah. How about front running?
So should we declare the award over?
Null
and void.
Just like I told you 2 weeks in, the Heisman Trophy was over.
Should we just cancel the rest of the season?
No, please.
It doesn't count.
No, I want to get them stats.
Huh.
I want to get them the most Star Wars stats.
Yeah,
I want. I love 50-5. Don't you like that, Skip? 50 tubs, 5K?
Kind of like Tom Brady in 07.
And what did he win?
Didn't win at all.
He won the MVP, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then. Peyton Manning.
Maybe in 07, Tom actually had too good of a wide receiver because he had Randy Moss. He doesn't win with greatness. He wins with below average.
50-8. Yeah. Because guess what, Skip? Mm-hmm. Listen, you know the rules, the way it's set up and the way the game is played. It's four. That's why you've only had two running backs interrupt the quarterbacks over all these years. If somebody scored, Todd Gurley gets to 30, 33 touchdowns, he's going to be in the mix. Just if somebody rushed for 2,100 yards like AP did, he's going to be in the mix.
So you know what makes me the sickest?
What makes you the sickest?
That these odds right now have Tom Brady as an also-ran tied with one Aaron Rodgers.
Tied
with Aaron Rodgers, whose QBR is 22nd in the league, and he is on pace to shatter the all-time record is Aaron Rodgers for throwaways by a quarterback, which means if he just doesn't have somebody wide open, he just throws it away.
That's what Tom Brady does.
I can show you the stats. Tom Brady isn't even close to Aaron Rodgers.
Hey,
Aaron Rodgers is shattering the record for throwaways.
How many interceptions?
Aaron Rodgers' team is 3-4-1.
Yeah. Okay, I get
3-4-1?
And that's going to hurt him in the voting.
Wow.
But if you don't mind me, how many touchdowns and interceptions does Aaron Rodgers have this year? I think it's like something 17-1. Is that pretty good?
15-1, right?
Oh, 15.
You know why? Because he figured out, if I don't try to force this ball into any danger, then it won't get picked. So I'll just throw it away. And that's why your team is 3-4-1.
But you never said that when Tom Brady went 27-2. You didn't say Tom Brady wasn't forcing things.
Well, because I can show you
smart.
The stats. Well, he wasn't throwing the ball away like this.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers at the...
What are you supposed to do, force it?
At the slightest hint of danger or there's nobody open, I'll just throw it away.
Yeah, he don't want to turn into Tony Romo.
Whoa.
He don't want to turn into Tony Romo. No. We're not
going
to be Tony Romo. We're not going to be Tony.
Tony, enough MVP for now. Enough MVP for now. I got you guys. You guys got going there. Okay. I'm looking forward to this one. I think you're going to like it, too. Will Shannon finally admit Tim Tebow is a good baseball player?
Please? I got to take another drink.
A good baseball player. That's next. No mercy. Tim Tebow's road to the majors has taken another step. The Mets' new GM said Tebow will start next season in AAA. Tebow hit .273 with 6 homers last season in AA before getting hurt, and the Mets' new GM was Tebow's agent before leaving that job. So he said, quote, "Timmy is not a guy you want to put restraints on. I believe in him." Shannon, what does this tell you?
Skip, bear with me. I'm sorry. I got to. In order to talk about this, I got to, okay? Just bear with me, Skip.
It's been a busy day.
Bad day.
Are you going to make it through? I think we still have another hour, Shannon.
Do you want me to drive you home?
I'll call Uber.
Call Uber. Okay, good.
Skip, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Did you hear what Jenny said in the read? The general manager used to be his agent.
So
nobody going to think anything wrong with this.
He knows him well.
If it must be a great luxury. Just think about it. You are a professional athlete, and the organization will move heaven and earth to make sure you succeed. Mm-hmm. No matter how bad you might look in the process. And what this is a terrible look. Now, he's going to start in AAA, which is in Syracuse, which had the second worst attendance next to Gwinnett. Now, Tim Tebow getting the band be coming. Mm. Yeah. Some of them come to see him because they want to see him do well.
Remember,
some,
the Mets AAA last year was in Las Vegas.
Yeah, all over Skip. Uh-huh. But Skip, this is a bad look. You know this is Skip Bayless. Mm. I mean, come on now. Your former agent is the general manager. Really, Jen? Mm. Really?
Don't ask her. Ask
I don't have you a really problem with that.
That
doesn't bother me.
That's the problem. There's a problem with nepotism. That's a problem.
They're not related.
Yeah, but you get close enough. You know Skip Bayless. But you know it would be great. Hmm. If my former agent had some high-ranking position at Fox, there ain't nothing I couldn't do. Hmm. There isn't nothing I don't believe I could say.
Hmm. I think you even think now there's nothing you can't do, right?
Oh, yeah, you might be right about that. You might be right about that. Hey, you know what? I'm going to go to my if my agent had a high-ranking job here at Fox. Hmm. You know what, Skip? I'm going to have this going to be Skip and Shannon Undisputed. Mm. And then I'm going to have me on my own little gig. You know, I have me on my own little gig.
No, it'd be Shannon and Skip.
No.
But Skip, it might just be Shannon
just
Undisputed.
No.
Yeah. It's hard to, they're going out of their way. They want to see him in the majors so bad. When a team will go out of their way to do everything they possibly can. This isn't merit-based, because I know Skip's going to give you the stats. Well, he hit this
and I should just leave.
No, I want you to stay.
He speaks both parts. Yeah. You know, you're like, you play two parts in the play. You speak two and you speak four.
Yeah, he's right? Going to tell you how he hit 300 in this, and he hit another 341.
Okay, but we got that on the record. Thank you.
But unfortunately, guess what? Hmm. They didn't start. They started in April. Hmm. They played April. They played May. And for a guy that's a power hitter that played 5 months, he had six. But this is where baseball is going. Hmm. I'm not the biggest baseball aficionado. Hmm. I'm not, Tim Kirchen or one of the Bob Nightingale's guys that follow the baseball like this. But this is where baseball is, not yet. You either hit a home run or you strike out. That's it. It's just like basketball. You either dunk the ball or you shoot a three. Football is what, Skip? You pass the ball or you get paid. That's where you are now. Mm. You throw for a bunch of touchdowns or you got a bump or a quarterback. Mm. You have a great quarterback. There's no in-between. Mm-hmm. He's either great or not, and he throws for a bunch of touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So this is where we are. Tim Tebow's either going to hit it out the park or strike out. But what we know is he had a bunch of strikeouts. Woo! Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand if he's hitting the ball out the park like Giancarlo Stanton, or he's hitting it out like even the Davis kid at the Angel, hit 241 and had another 40-something home.
Yep.
Doing that, sign him up.
Yep.
Six home runs, 70-plus strikeout. That's not good. Mm-hmm. But that ain't none of my business.
So, you finished?
Yeah.
Another drink? Yeah, you need a little
You know what? You know what I need right here? I got to get some water. You got to stay hydrated.
So you can drive home. So, I handed you this topic on a silver platter because you are right. Tim Tebow's agent, and it's really, he was his former agent just like a few weeks ago.
Yes! Yeah,
right? This just started. But his agent, Brody Van Wagenen of CAA, Mighty CAA, based here in Los Angeles.
Right down the street.
Is now the GM of the New York Mets. So this is good news, and this is really, really bad news for Tim Tebow, because if he does get called up, he will immediately get called out by the legions of Tebow haters around the world who will say, you're disqualified, your agent called you up and gave you a shot you did not earn or deserve.
Yeah.
So I get that, and I will be the first to tell you that Brody, outside of Tim's family, nobody knows and respects and believes in Tim Tebow more than Brody does. So that's a really powerful connection
You think?
But I'm going to remind you that last year at AA, Tim Tebow made the All-Star team. Huh, that's pretty good, right?
So did five
and
of his teammates.
I will remind you that near the end of the year, there were multiple reports that Sandy Alderson, who used to be the GM of the Mets, was leaning toward calling up Tim Tebow in September. And he, right on schedule, unfortunately broke his hand. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a pretty serious break, and I'm not sure how it's going to come back for spring training. But they are going to send him to AAA because he definitely earned a promotion to AAA. To see if he can then earn his way into the big leagues. Are the Mets going to be any better than they were last year when they went 77 and 85, 13 games back of the Atlanta Braves? Are they going to be much better than that? Probably not. So if Tim Tebow has a chance to get called up in September, would Brody jump at that? Sure, he would jump at that chance. Would it be some box office? But Shannon Sharp, you know what Brody knows as well as anybody?
What do you know?
Outside of me. He knows about Tim Tebow having some of the strongest winners intangibles in the history of professional sports. Mm-hmm. I give you 2011. Do you remember 2011? Because you know that team fairly well.
That long
well.
Time ago. Why are we talking about 2011? It's
We're
a different
talking
sport.
About
Not what he just told
pro
me.
Football. We're talking about 2011 when Tim Tebow took a 1-4 dead in the water Denver Broncos team that had no chance with Kyle Orton, and he turned it into a division champion that won a home playoff game against Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers thanks to Tim Tebow's clutch overtime pass to Demaryius Thomas for a touchdown that won the football game. I saw Tim Tebow that year lead the NFL in QBR in the last 5 minutes of all those games. And the great Eric Mangini sat on our show at ESPN and said, the later the game gets, the more accurate Tim Tebow gets. Wow, that's a powerful statement. So we saw him take over college football in big moments, unfortunately against my Oklahoma Sooners in the national championship game, and those intangibles still percolate within Tim Tebow.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. So if you give him a shot, if you bring him up in September, let's say they're still in the race, you don't think he might be good for a couple of big
what
clutches?
What race?
You know, maybe he would do what Dez Bryant, you said, might do for the New Orleans Saints. Maybe he'd make one or two plays, a couple of hits, maybe a defensive play, knowing him, because that's what Tim Tebow does.
Yeah, Tim Tebow going to have a race with Mr. Met. Mm. Skip, hold on, let me get this straight. Now, this ain't the same Van Wegeman that recommended that either they give Jacob DeGrom a contract extension or trade him. That's not him, is it?
Mm-hmm. He represented him.
Now, how would that have looked?
He represented
they give it.
Cano and Cespedes and Ryan Zimmerman.
Well, no, I'm not talking about them. Okay. I'm not talking
well,
about
you
them.
You represent a whole bunch of
I'm
people.
I'm not talking about them. Think about that now.
Okay.
Pay my guy. They give him a long term. They give him $200 million. Mm. And now he's the general manager.
Mm.
Okay, my client happens to be a prospect for this organization.
Yep.
My former client. Is a prospect for this organization that I control whether he goes up or down. But nobody thinks I'm the only one. I'm out of my mind for thinking that there's something wrong with this. Okay.
So that's what I said. All the haters will disqualify, sure. And that's okay because Tim Tebow is going to get a shot. And if I know Tim Tebow, and I think I do, he will come through on that shot.
Well, I get you. I guarantee you. They might consider me a hater. Yeah. I'm a truth teller. But what about those other minor leaguers? Mm. What are they going to be thinking? Mm. Are all of those guys haters that's been tolling around, that's hitting 285, 300, that doesn't get called up? Mm.
Did they lead a team to the division championship?
Now, they got nothing to do with baseball.
Intangibles.
He should have stuck with football.
Winners
he should have stuck with football then. Yep. If he's good at UCLA.
Winners and tangibles.
For the record, I'm on Skip's side. I love
you. Whoa, wait a minute.
I'm for the guy.
Okay.
It's over. We got to go to break.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Stop.
Sorry, Shannon.
We got to get another winner out here. Jason Terry. Winners and tangibles.
Jason Terry is here.
He's
we're going to talk to him.
Got Tim Tebow in him.
About LeBron, about the Lakers. No mercy. Our next guest won an NBA title with the Mavs in 2011. He won a Sixth Man of the Year award and scored over 18,000 career points. Ray Allen and Reggie Miller are the only players in NBA history that have made more three-pointers. So, Jason Terry, welcome to Undisputed. It's good to have you here.
It is possible that Jason Terry will still get a call from an NBA team. I don't know. It could be the Warriors. It could be the Lakers. You never know. Yeah. But we would like to officially welcome him as a new member of the FS1 team.
Thank you very much. Congratulations. Hold on. Where's the paperwork?
I think you already signed the paperwork.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm here, man. Hey, thanks for having me.
All we're going to do, all we pay you in is That's all. We got no money.
Oh, that's it?
That's it. We got no money.
Just get used to this. You never know over here, Jason. Well, since you are here and we've been talking a lot about the Lakers, I want to get your take on what you saw last night. They beat the Wolves last night 114-110. LeBron scored a team-high 24 points, was one assist shy of a triple-double. Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart each had at least 20 points. Derrick Rose had a career-high 7 3-pointers, but he missed a shot with under 5 seconds left that would have given Minnesota the lead. The Lakers have now allowed at least 110 points in every game this season, and the win puts them at 5-6. So, Jason, how impressive did the Lakers look, in your opinion, last night?
Impressive? That's a very strong
word. Okay.
Encouraged? Yes.
Okay.
But obviously, you know, when you brought in my good friend, Tyson Chandler, the champion.
You know what? He's a good man.
He's a great
man. He's one of the best people I've ever interacted with.
Oh, no doubt about it. Somewhat of a troll under the bridge here the last 3 or 4 years, right, since he left Dallas. But you bring him in, obviously, you bring in a winner. And in the clutch moments, which the Lakers have struggled in, Tyson Chandler was out there on the court, came up with a big contested 3-point shot of Derrick Rose, and they solidified the victory. Big front court depth is what they've been lacking. JaVale McGee has been playing outstanding this season.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable, right? Could be most improved player, defensive player of the year, whatever. Yeah. But their biggest problem was when they subbed him off the floor, you had to bring in LeBron and play him at the five, sometimes the four, or Kuzma at the five. Undersized, no deterrent to the offense, and they would just attack them in the paint. So now you bring in Tyson Chandler. He solidifies that depth. He gives them added leadership, and he is a champion.
I agree. And Skip and I, we talked about this earlier. I wouldn't go impressive because they still gave up 110 points.
Oh, yeah.
They gave up 67 points in the first half. That's not good. But I agree with you with Tyson Chandler, and that's what they need because when they go JaVale, now you get somebody that can help you rebound. Those two offensive rebounders were crucial because they gave you two more opportunities. Although they only cashed on one of them, it gave you an extra possession. And that's what they need. And plus, they gave him a big body to bang with Karl Anthony Towns. Because LeBron can't – Towns is too big for LeBron. He's too big for Kuzma. Yep. And he's too big for Williams, the kid that was on the two-way that they sent him back down. But now you got another big body. JaVale McGee is a help defender. He's not an on-ball defender.
Right.
He's not an Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis can D you up on the ball. Mm-hmm. He's looking to help. Somebody misses assignment or their guy gets to the rim, he's going to come try and pin it to the backboard. So I love the move. I didn't like the shots that LeBron took, those two long threes. I believe he can get a better shot than 30-foot threes.
Oh,
I believe he can.
He can.
I could be wrong.
Early on in that game, though, did you see LeBron attacking?
Do you see him rise up, Skip?
You see him rise up?
Skip, do you? Hey, I told you. That's another two.
I told you.
No, that vibranium. Did you see him rise up, Skip? Way above the rim.
So what happened in the last minute of the game when you had the basketball in your hands twice with a chance to just slam the door?
9 points.
What are you doing?
Door got stuck.
The door got stuck. I don't know. It just drives me crazy. Listen, bottom line from last night, I saw flashes of maybe not greatness, but goodness. I saw a good basketball team.
Yes.
I saw a second half where they held them to 43 points, 21 in the third and 22 in the fourth. That if you could do that every night, boy, you'd be at the top, right?
Well, the other thing you have to add is you had four players with 20 points. I mean, when's the last time that happened?
Well, when's the last time the Los Angeles Lakers made 15 3-point shots because they needed them to offset the franchise record 20 that the Wolves made last night on the road at Staples.
No doubt. And that's where our game has transcended to. It's you have to be able to take and make threes.
You just have to.
To have a chance.
Okay. So this team is going to go as far as the king can carry this team.
Yep.
Last night, I saw flashes of complete and utter dominance. To your point, nobody can attack the basket. Nobody can freight train the way LeBron still can. In year 16, he is still man among boys on a basketball court. When he decides, there's nobody who can keep, I don't know, maybe Tyson Chandler could if you reverse roles. But my point is, nobody, Karl Anthony couldn't keep him from the rim.
No.
So why wouldn't, in the end, he's got two chances. They're up 1 point with 46.2 seconds left. He's got the ball in the wing. Just go. Now, again, is he a great late-game free-throw shooter? He is not. Is that like his Achilles heel? Well, just take him. Just go take him because maybe you can make one of them, make him two of them. And I told Shannon earlier in the show, the shot that I like that he is starting to perfect later in his career is sort of a Michael Jordan Memorial turnaround jump shot. Mm-hmm. And once you take whoever's guarding, you know, Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah.
Okay, it's Wiggins. I think I had him most of the time. Yes. Whoever's on him, right. Sometimes Jimmy Butler. But
correct.
Whoever it is, just take them in the lane and just turn around and rise up over them and shoot that 8-foot, 10-foot fall away. I trust that shot more than a 3-point shot. He's got off to a bad start from three. I'm sure he will slowly but surely tick up, but he came into the game 28.8% from three. Well, that's not the shot that you want to slam the door with. And then he had it right, but thanks to Tyson Chandler, he got another shot at 15.2 seconds, thanks to a back tap from Tyson Chandler. And he LeBricked another shot from deep three. You just can't do it. Well, you can't do it. You got to close it. You got to take it in the lane. You got to make something happen. That's not your forte.
No.
Right?
It's not, but it's definitely a shot that he can't make.
Every once in a while.
This is where my guy Tyson Chandler comes in.
Okay.
Hey, big fella, we're going to need you to drive that to the basket.
With Tyson?
He's going to tell you that.
Okay.
100%.
Hey,
that's strong right there.
Do you remember the game that he tied it up at the Spurs? Yeah. That 3-point shot?
Right. Yeah,
so he's well capable of making that shot.
Then what happened?
No, see, Skip.
Well, wait a second.
I'm like you, Skip.
Wait, you just swept it under your little carpet over there.
No, but you make it seem like he can't make that shot.
Okay, so it goes to overtime, and then they're up 6 with a minute left in overtime, and they can't hold the lead, and they lose.
Right.
Okay?
They
he lost.
No.
He's the king. He's the closer. He's got to be the closer.
But he closed last night. He had 9 points.
Yep.
In the fourth quarter.
So, Jason Terry, then I got to take your man Tyson Chandler and my man Tyson Chandler to task because I got to tell you, on the last shot of the game by Derrick Rose, he just hacked him across the hand. He just got him, and it was very interesting that Derrick Rose said, you want to see it? Can we show it again?
I'm about to run that again. I don't know about it.
He got it.
Hand is
he
part of the ball.
Here, whoa. Watch. He goes across
not in the
and
shooting
he slapped
motion.
Him.
He got a piece of the ball.
He slapped his
Let
hand.
Me ask you a question. Huh? If Steph Curry shooting that shot, they calling it?
They are calling that foul.
So Derrick Rose said after the game, they aren't going to give me that call.
No, this is
Derrick Rose, the former MVP, who lost his superstar privilege with the refs over the last 4 years.
Former MVP.
Yeah, former MVP.
Way former.
Way former. But
not
you know what?
Not get that call in that situation in L.A.
Right.
In L.A.
He is not starting to resemble the MVP.
Yeah, better.
Am I right?
So happy for that kid.
Oh.
You know what? All the perseverance, the adversity that he's been through his last 3 or 4 years, the injuries, the people, the naysayers, the social media trolls telling me he would never leave and not tell nobody where he was going, Jason. Well, it looks like that's what he needed to do.
No.
Mentally, to get that sanity.
You can tell your boss, you just can't leave work. And they're looking for you. You say,
So Skip never checked out on y'all and get it together.
No, he didn't take no days. I took one day.
I need to know that.
And then he called me. I take one day in two and a half years. I took one day.
Just one.
Everything okay? I was like, Skip, I took one day. Not a month.
He's disqualified. He took a day
off. One day.
One day.
Sorry. You're out.
We work 240 days a year. I get one in 2.5 years. Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Now that you're on the team, you realize no days off.
No days off. At least I'm going to check with somebody.
I mean, Derrick Rose is a career 29% three-point shooter, and he's taught himself a stroke.
It's confidence. It's being comfortable with your surroundings. Tibbs has done a wonderful job of just reinstilling that confidence in him. Go be you. Be the best you can be, and you've seen what it's done for him. The kid is hitting threes like Steph Curry out there.
He's made 46% of his
And he's still driving the ball. He's still getting to the rim, finishing
strong. Did he get some vibranium?
He may have.
I don't know whether he can keep it going.
Remember, when he wrecked his knee, he lost all faith in his legs.
Yes.
And then one thing led to another injury, and people question his mental toughness. I didn't know if he's
Minnesota still has some issues. Yeah. My question to you fellas is, Teague is out. When he comes back, Derrick Rose, your starting point guard.
Yeah. Teague ain't getting that job back?
No.
No, Teague ain't getting that job back.
Teague is a little better distributor than Derrick is. I always thought Derrick was more of a 2 than a 1. That's just me. But he did win the MVP, so is it possible you can play both of them?
Well, the thing was, once he wrecked his knee, he was mainly a drive the ball to the basket, pull up, shoot the little floater. Well, you don't have your legs, you can't do that. And he didn't have the outside shot. Right. Now he can still get to the rim and he can make that shot. He might be more, he's still a young man. He's been in the league 10 years.
He's 30.
Yeah.
Barely.
So he's still a very young man. Hmm. But man, he looked impressive. I mean, shooting the three, I'm like, dude, when did the Timberwolves get Steph Curry?
Right. he's tough.
What's your view of Jimmy Butler versus Karl Anthony Towns, because when Jimmy's ready to play and steps on the court, Karl Anthony just shrinks. Like, I don't want to be out here anymore.
Yeah, you can tell the chemistry is not quite there. I'm not in the locker room. I don't know. I don't have any information privy that tells me those two are disgruntled. But you can see it. They just don't get along. They fail to coexist. And Karl Anthony's numbers, if you look at them, they are.
Well, you don't have to be there because you heard the reports that he challenged everybody in the preseason.
Yeah.
You. It was reported last year that he called Karl Anthony Towns an anatomy part. Yeah. So, yeah, and then it come out, I said,
well,
you know.
Yeah, sort of.
Oh, yeah, so cool. When you look at it, somebody's got to just go ahead, Skip. Yeah. It's not going to get better. Jimmy wants out, or he wants the money that you gave Cat. Mm-hmm. You can't be in the luxury tax for the seventh or the eighth seed. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
No, and you don't have the veterans in the locker room to police or control that situation, and it is just going to continue to spiral. They'll win one, they'll win two, but Derrick Rose has to get 50 for us to win one game. That's a hard living in this league, especially in the Western Conference.
Karl Anthony Towns went from being the man. Now he has to share the spotlight because it was him and Wiggins. Now Jimmy comes. Jimmy, I'm the man.
What, 2 years in a row, Karl Anthony won the GM poll for who you'd like to start
build
your franchise
with? Yeah. Right.
Really?
So he like going to that, and I got to share the shots with you. And then Andrew.
Can we just vote? We need a recount.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, you got to be tougher than that.
We saw him in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Getting about 6 points, 7 points a game.
Yeah, you got to be a little tougher than that, mentally and physically.
Mm. Well, Minnesota has to figure it out. I just don't like it.
You saw that massacre.
They got to figure it out.
Yeah, they got to figure it out.
Minnesota
team. Oh, I forgot you went to see the Wolves. You didn't go to see the Lakers.
Yeah, I was. Oh, okay. The one person?
That's the one building you can get away with cheering for the visiting team and nobody's going to bother you.
It was basically me and three of us, so it made sense. All right, they'll figure it out. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again same time tomorrow morning, 9:30 Eastern. See you then. Facts, sports, one of one.